Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's the day. Here it is. We get to celebrate that great day every single year when we reflect on the fact that our God became a human being for us. And we'll talk about what all that means today, too, and celebrate that together. We'll also celebrate the Lord's Supper together this morning, so prepare your minds and hearts for the body and blood of the Lord. And this is a fellowship meal, so if you're not within our fellowship yet and you want to know how you might partake with us in the future, speak to me after the service or other pastor, Pastor Colander. Love to talk to you about that. Well, are you ready, all ye faithful, to come and worship? Let's do it. Let's start with hymn 55, O Come All Ye Faithful. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. But our iniquities have separated us from our God. Our sins have hidden his face from us so that he will not hear. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. We look for deliverance, but it is far away.
For our offenses are many in his sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our sins.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities.
Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
The Lord has made his salvation known.
And revealed his righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Almighty God, grant that the birth of your one and only Son in the flesh may set us free from our old bondage under the yoke of sin. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the song of praise. The congregation will join in on the refrains, and the choir will sing the verses. You may be seated. ours, all thanks to Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen. Has anyone here ever spent the whole day with only young kids, and then by the end of the day, you're craving adult interaction? Right? And you do, because that's good for you. You need that. Because after, say, you spend like a whole day with like a three-year-old, what are you going to start thinking and talking like? Like a three-year-old, right? Your mind goes down to that level for a little while, and it's like it's stuck there, and you try to get it out. The same sort of thing happened with my wife and I when we were living abroad. That happened to our English. So when you're over in places where the English isn't so great and you're speaking in simple, slow English sentences all day, every day, you come back to the States like we did and forgot half of our English, didn't know how to use big words anymore or idioms or colloquialisms, it was lost. Goodbye. You bring your mind down to that level and it's over. Sadly, you and I do the same thing spiritually too. Sometimes we can bring our mind and our hearts down to the sinful level of the world around us. And that, we're not saying that from we're on our high horse kind of a thing here. We know that's not the case. We're unrighteous too. And we show that. Our mind comes down to that sinful level, even though we're supposed to set ourselves apart, and our minds can be selfish, greedy. Our hearts can be filled with, not peace, but unrest, almost like we have no hope. We can forget about the Word of God and how trustworthy it is, and we get lost in all of this unknown and uncertainty. We can sadly be very unwise when we say yes to sin over and over again and get caught in this trap and this spiral. You and I, sadly, when we come down to a level, we can become like sinful world around us. But thanks be to God that when Jesus came to our level, when he came to our earth, that wasn't the case. Jesus came to this earth and he was exactly who he always was. Who was he from time before time began? God Almighty. Who was he when he came here? God Almighty. He didn't always make full use of it, but he did that for our sake. God was righteous, so he was righteous. God was mighty, so he was mighty. God has all wisdom, so he was always wise, always saying no to that sin. And you and I this morning, we're going to reflect on that fact and so many more facts as we look at that manger. It'd be a real shame for us to look at that manger and not remember who that really is. Jesus is divine, and his divine identity defines our identity. Because Jesus was righteous, guess what God sees you as? He sees you as righteous. Thanks to Christ, through him. Because Christ was mighty and he said no to sin every time, God not only looks at you and sees you as having said no to sin every single time, but now, actually, through the Holy Spirit, you do have that might to say no to sin. All thanks to Christ. Now, instead of us being unwise, now we can remember all the wisdom that Christ shared and look to his word as we say no to that sin and set ourselves apart from the sin around us. Jesus' identity defines our identity with God and with others. This morning we're going to look at three sets of prophecies, and each prophecy is going to reveal a little bit more about the Christ child. First of all, we reflect on his divine identity, then his heart for us, and then the blessings that he brings because of all of that. We'll also look at the New Testament fulfillment. Why? Because when God says something and prophesies something, it comes true. That means all of those blessings will too. The first set of prophecies comes from Isaiah, the first one from Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In Isaiah 11, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Fulfillment in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord. We respond to the Word with "Of the Father's Love Begotten," number 35. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. You ever know somebody that did something really embarrassing, and you're their friend, and you're right there with them, and you're thinking to yourself in your head, "I'm not with them, I'm not with them, I'm not with them," and you don't, "Yikes, I gotta get out of here." My wife is thinking, "Yep, pretty much every single day." But in that moment, you know that if you join them in that, that you're going to have that embarrassment and that shame too, right? And so you. Part of you wants to go, "Oh, I'm not with them." Think of how many times God could have said that about us human beings, right? I'm not with them, I'm not with them, look at them, oh brother, yikes, I'm not with them. And sadly, a lot of people think that about him. They think that he's done that. They think that he's left and he's forsaken us all, especially them. You know, there are people that have usually two arguments. God certainly couldn't be with me because look at me. How could he be with me? Or there's also the argument of, oh, God isn't with me. If he was with me, he'd show it more in my life. Both of those arguments, though, think that God doesn't care. They think that his heart is so far away from us that he's left us. Well, if the last set of prophecies revealed who Jesus is, this next prophecy reveals his heart for us, God's heart for you and I. It's kind of crazy when you think about the time when this prophecy came. We're talking about the Old Testament people of Israel. If you know anything about them, you might know that they had a really rough time. How many sins and how many unrighteous things had they had done? We're talking about worshiping other gods. We're talking about taking advantage of their fellow people. We're talking about leading other people astray, not caring about the temple, really putting God as the last thing. And yet, even in the midst of all of this, God, through Isaiah, tells them not, I'm not with you. He tells them something very different. He gives them a sign. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Even in the midst of all of that sin, God communicates this message to them, and it's this message that became this message of hope. Even as, with all this junk that we have in our lives and all of the shame and embarrassment that we have had as a nation, God is still with us. That same sign is given to you this morning, yet again. Even in all the shame and embarrassment of all of our unrighteous acts, even all those times when we come down to the level of the world and we think God couldn't possibly be with us, this sign to you this morning once again communicates, God is with you. He loves you. Think of how many times God could have looked at us and said, oh, I'm certainly not with them. And yet here he comes with a big old message of, I'm with you. He continues to come to us through his word. He continues to encourage us with that forgiveness. He continues to guide us in our holiness. He's with us. So reflect on that as we read this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The fulfillment, Matthew 1. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And from Luke 1. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The word of the Lord, we respond with hymn number 61. Thank you. anyone here use Google Maps? That's what I thought, a lot of you. What a great tool that is, huh? Started out with GPS and directions, and now you basically go on Google Maps and you can get information about almost anything and anywhere. You got businesses information, contact info, website info. You've got even reviews talking about all those things. But you know the one place, the one time when Google Maps is actually a really bad tool? It's in newly developed areas. You know what I'm talking about? Where it doesn't quite know the directions quite yet, and so it leads you maybe into a building or into a field or a fence or a lake or something like that. And the reviews, sometimes if they're not there yet, if it's a newer business, you know what I'm talking about? Maybe the information is inaccurate, but the reviews are non-existent. So you use the business at your own risk, right? Well, this next prophecy is going to prove what we all already knew. God is greater than Google. Okay, believe it or not, God is greater than Google. What if Google had said that, yep, in 700 plus years, right here in this town, here's the directions, this is exactly what's going to happen. And the reviews for this one is going to be 5-star, amazing review. It'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it? That's exactly what God did. With this prophecy, God said 700 years from now, in this place, right here, in this town of Bethlehem, is going to come something amazing. And you can even go 300 years before that to King David. God told David, yep, one of your descendants is going to sit on the throne forever and ever. He's going to be the Savior. You can go even 1,000 years before that. God told Abraham, through you, all nations will be blessed. You can go even years and years and years to ancient, ancient times before that, to Adam and Eve. God said a Savior would come. Yeah, from ancient times, God has been doing this. He said, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, and guess what? He fulfilled it. Google compares nothing to God. And the reviews, oh my, the reviews about this one to come, they came pouring in hundreds and thousands of years before about what this one was going to do. Oh, he'd bring all of this joy and this peace. He'd take our sins. He'd pay for all of our iniquities. We'd be blessed through him. He'd sit on the throne and rule forever. The reviews. And they kept pouring in, surprise, surprise, in that moment when that time came. This time from the mouths of angels as they were circling the sky. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. That glorious peace. This wasn't 3-star peace. This wasn't 4-star peace. This wasn't even 5-star peace. All right, this is off the charts peace. This is peace that brings forgiveness, peace that brings reconciliation, peace that brings hope, even in the face of death, peace that brings joy in the good times and in the bad times. Peace that brings meaning to life. This was off the charts peace. Yeah, sorry, Google. Better believe it, Google. God is better than you. Better believe it, you. God has done great things for you. He's fulfilled all of these prophecies, and he's brought you all of these blessings. Peace with God. 5-star plus. Next prophecy from Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. In Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." The word of the Lord. We respond with hymn 65.
Thank you.
One of the joys we have as Christians is recognizing our God's heart for us so much that he wants to hear us. So we join together with one heart to our God who loves us so much. Prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer. We pray, our dear Lord Jesus, we are in awe yet again this Christmas at the love you showed by becoming a human being for our sake. Lord, you are with us, and we know that because you became one of us so that you could die for us. For this, we thank you. Hear our prayer this morning as we ask you to show that love to all who need you, whether it's your healing, your gracious power, your forgiveness, or your calming presence. Bless us with joy today and always as we share your great love and your great acts of mercy with others, that they may know what makes this day so great year after year. We pray this in your great name, in which we also pray as you have taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Join together in hymn 68, Away in a Manger. The Lord took on a human body so that he might shed his blood for us. This morning he offers you his body and blood in the sacrament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. May he who by his incarnation gathered things earthly and heavenly into one, fill us with such joy that comes with the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. Praise be to Emmanuel, the Word made flesh, the Son of David, the Prince of Peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, Joy to the World, number 62. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
God is good. All the time. That's right. May God bless your Christmas celebrations. Please travel safely, and we'll hope to see you on Sunday at 8 and 10:45. God's blessings to you. Merry Christmas.